Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Edwin Doran. How are you, Edwin?
I'm particularly well this morning, thank you.
It is a bright morning. It's a little bit chilly.
Yes, indeed. Yes, very much so. But it's nice to see the a certain amount of blue sky up there.
Well, little specks of it. We're recording this in February in winter, and it's 1 degree out, so no frost, but not bad. We're here in your place in Teddington. You're only about 5 blocks away from where I live, so it's like, way, not too bad.
Yeah, local.
But you own a vineyard in South Africa, and we're going to talk a wee bit about that and some various bits and pieces. But before we get into your vineyard, which is, I understand is in Paarl, do you want to just tell me a couple of minutes about yourself?
Yeah, I landed in the UK on the 4th of November 1966. I was sent to London by my employers at the time, which were a company called Ryan's in Ireland. And I've never really gone home since then. So in 1974, on the 1st of July, I set up my own travel business, which I developed into two particular niche kind of markets. And I sold the main business in the 7th of November 2008. And with money to burn, I've been burning it ever since because I bought a South African vineyard.
Jane said that you made the classic comment, how to make a small fortune in wine.
Exactly.
That was a big one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, unfortunately enough, I still have a little bit of the fortune left to keep it going.
Oh, good. Phew.
Yeah.
That's a relief. Okay, so when did you say it's 2009 you...
I sold the business on 7th November 2008, and then on the 27th of September 2010, I bought the vineyard. I've had this friend in South Africa since 1992 called André Badenhorst, who's a bit of an icon in South African wine. And when I sold the business in 2008, in December, I was down at our apartment in Cape Town, and I was having a braai with André at his house, and I said I was looking for a boutique vineyard. Of about 10, 15 hectares. We ended up buying a farm of 179 hectares, which is the same size as Monte Carlo, so very boutique.
Yeah. Is it all planted up?
We have 55 hectares of vines. We have one dam, which is extremely important, particularly in the current climate, of 16 hectares.
Yeah.
Then we have another smaller dam, and we also have a borehole, which is particularly brilliant. And we did cattle, but unfortunately now, because of the shortage of water, there's not sufficient amount of stuff for the cattle to eat off. But we still have about 100 sheep.
Which uses more water, grapes or cows?
Cows.
Really?
Yeah.
Grapes are pretty heavy.
Yeah, grapes are heavy, but cows are very heavy because you need water for the grass, for the cows to eat. And now, particularly, we're now in our third or fourth drought, and the transformation has been quite dramatic. 4 years ago, we had so much water in our dam that we had to create sluices to release the water. Whereas last October, I spent 140,000 rand buying water from the local council.
Yeah.
Which was, in actual fact, a very good decision by André, because otherwise we would have run out of water. And as you know, vines need water to help them develop. In terms of tonnage, 4 years ago we did 630 ton from 45 hectares. Last year we did 403 from 55 hectares.
Yeah, we made a note in the news a while ago about volume of South African wine is dropping because of this drought.
Yeah, it is dropping. Ours has dropped 45%, and that to a certain extent is a good thing because the number of producers have dropped from 4,300 to 3,100.
Of going bust?
Yeah, not going bust, but transferring over ridiculously to citrus because citrus needs more water than wine than vines do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it'll be good, I think, in the long term, because now the market won't be as competitive. And also, in that situation, we'll then be able to increase the prices and it'll become a decent market for us.
That's Bentley in the background. I think we're going to let him in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is a delightful dog, but he does rule the roost because my wife spoils him.
Okay. So Drought's a bit of a problem. There's no sign of it abating, though, is it? It's not like it's been driven by... Like, Australia gets a lot of drought because of El Nino and La Nina effects.
Yeah.
Is that affecting South Africa, or do you know why the reason the drought is?
No, it obviously has to be with climate change, because you have a situation where this year we had only something like 40% of the annual rainfall we would normally get. So we're getting much drier winters, which is creating the difficulty. But we were very lucky in, say, in buying this substantial amount of water.
Have you got access to it next year?
Yeah, if there's enough water in the river. Because it was a simple thing of going to the council and saying, fine, we'll buy 140,000 rands worth of water. And they turned on the tap at both ends and it flowed into our dam.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But we're also lucky because, as you say, water is particularly important because all of the tanks in the cellar are cooled by water. But we have got this borehole, which is particularly good.
Cool. So let's talk about where the vineyard is. You're right on the border. You're in Paarl, from what I understand.
Yes. We're in the Voorpaardenberg region of Paarl, and we're literally right on the borders with Swartland. So, you know, if I put my leg over the fence of my property, then I'm into Swartland, which, of course, is the new area.
Is it? Because I know about Swartland, but I always thought Swartland was sort of quite a bulk producing area in South Africa.
No, it changed quite dramatically through a number of people like Eben Sadi, like Adi Badenhorst, Andre's son. And it is now, they say it now produces the very best wine. You know, to give you an idea, Eben Sadi opened his vineyard for his customers last year and he sold out in 4 hours.
Okay.
You know, so it's primarily, it's a major bush vine area.
Yeah.
And as you know,
old bush vine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so with old bush vine, you get a higher concentration of flavor in the juice. And because bushes only have five springs, you get less amount of fruit per vine.
Five springs.
Five shoots, yeah. I call them springs.
Yeah, okay. Just for the listeners, if who's not quite sure what bush vine is, it's instead of having the vine on trellises and wires, you've just got them like a gobelet in France or in Beaujolais where they grow them in bushes, or and Spain as well.
Yeah, they do it down in Alicante. They've got a big Mataro, Mourvèd bush vine area down there.
Yeah.
So we in actual fact we've created our own bush vine vineyard, and which is with the plants left over from when we developed the white wine vineyard. So we don't know what plants they are, so this will be the first time we will be picking them this year, so it'll be quite fascinating to see.
Well, a vineyard blend.
Yeah. So originally I called it AMG, Andre's Mixed Grapes.
Yeah.
But I think what we probably do is, because I have this thing of calling wines after the girls in my family, and I've been getting a lot of crap from my daughter that she hasn't had a wine called after her, so the next wine will be called Georgia Maeve after her.
The advantage bush vines have is that they tend, the way the shoots, or you call them sprigs or whatever, they tend to shelter the plant, and you land up with higher humidity in the canopy, which in a dry environment means you get less water loss, or that's one of the advantages anyway. That's why you see a lot of bush vines in dry countries. Also, the spacing in dry areas is much larger, and the cost of trellising is really high if you've got a massive area with many vines.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of reasoning behind it? Is there anything?
Well, no, it was just an experiment, really. We had all these plants left over, and because we're next door to the Swartland, which is a major bush vine area, and with us having access to fruit from the Swartland, we thought we would grow our own bush vine as an experiment and to see what comes out. And you know, we have this blend from the Grenache, the Chenin, and the Roussanne, which we call Aria, which is a particularly nice wine. So we thought it'd be nice to have an alternative as a bush vine as opposed to a trellis vine.
Okay. And you don't know I'm surprised you didn't know what you were planting where, though.
No, we didn't. We had all these plants, and we deliberately just mixed them together as part of the fun, as part of the experiment.
Oh, okay. Okay. Vineyards moved away from that about 100 years ago.
I'm a great traditionalist.
Okay, fair enough. So you're right on that Swartland, Paarl border.
Yeah.
Northwest. It's quite dry up there.
Yes, it is. We particularly in the last 3 or 4 years when we've had the drought, we have a very good, because we're inland and we're in a nice kind of situation whereby it does get quite hot, up to 35, maybe the odd 40 degrees, but then we've got the breeze coming off the Atlantic.
Oh, you do get that?
Yeah.
Is that the Bengali current coming up the side and then the wind comes off?
Yeah, so it comes off the Atlantic at about 4:30 every day, and it really is quite incredible. You're lying by the pool and suddenly the wind comes in and you have to move out of the sunshine. But it then cools the vines down overnight.
Yeah.
And then it comes in again the next morning.
Comes in the morning as well?
No, the heat comes back again the next morning.
Oh, yeah, with the sun.
So it is quite hot, yeah, but it traditionally is quite dry, and again traditionally until the droughts arrived we used to get a certain amount of summer rain, you know, particularly when we needed it in the end of November, start of December, and again in January to slow the harvest down. But last year we harvested 3 weeks early. So we're not so early this year because of buying this water, which means we had more moisture for it. And of course in a hot area, all of the vines are drip irrigated anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But exactly. The drip irrigation just saves the vines from becoming strained. It doesn't actually put that much moisture into the soil, which you need from a big drop of rain.
Yeah, okay. So you're not really... Drip irrigation's like your emergency at the end of the...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So what grapes are you growing?
We initially had 5 reds, which was Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Syrah, and Pinotage. Mm-hmm. And then we put in 3 whites, which was Chenin, Grenache, and Roussanne. And then we also put in Grenache Noir, because when we took over, Martin, our winemaker, is from Stellenbosch, and he got Stellenbosch University to come up and do a soil survey for us. And whereas the concentration previously was on Bordeaux varietals, we in actual fact are our own varietal farm.
So you're your own...
We're a Rhone varietal farm.
Oh, okay, yeah. The climate or whatever is more suited to Rhone.
The foot more Rhone varietal. So we're lucky that we have Shiraz, we now got Grenache Noir, and probably as time goes on, we will then put in maybe Mourvèdre, maybe Carignan. Okay. But the difficulty we have is that they put in 20 hectares of Merlot, and you can't graft another vine onto Merlot rootstock. You've got to pull it up and plant all over again.
So, but it was grafted vines, it was Merlot...
No, it was... You deal primarily in plants in South Africa, but because we have 20 hectares of Merlot, which Merlot is primarily a blending wine, it's not a single varietal wine. But you cannot, cut Merlot down and graft on another vine. So you're stuck with the Merlot.
Oh, okay. Oh, so what, you've left the Merlot in, or are you...
We've left the Merlot in, yeah, because then we sell that off to the co-op. And you have these co-ops in South Africa, which are very nice. We primarily deal with the Boland co-op, and we sell them quite a lot of grapes, so they then pay us over 12 months, and that probably covers 40% of our costs.
Nice. So you took the vineyard over, it was all red, you've put in some white.
Yeah.
And... How do you sell the wine? Because you're here in London,
yeah.
But your vineyard's in South Africa,
yeah.
So are you flying back and forth a lot, or do you have a big retail business in London?
Yeah,
or?
No, I do commute to Cape Town, not as often as I used to, because I'm selling more wine now in the UK than we did. And the UK is a major market, a very important market. So we would have quite a number of different channels that we sell to. We sell to really good traditional local wholesalers like Tanner's, for example. We sell quite a lot of wine to local off and on licenses here. We deal primarily with the independent wine merchants as opposed to off licenses, because we believe that we need that expertise behind the counter for people to understand what our wine is all about. And we sell in Ireland as well. We sell in Denmark, Switzerland, a bit in Germany, Canada, the United States.
Have you found the fall of the pound? Because the pound's got weaker, and it's got weaker against South Africa. And historically, well, particularly in the last 5 years or so, the South African rand's been getting weaker and weaker over time, which means that the South African wines became competitively quite good priced in the UK.
Yeah.
Which gave them an advantage. But with the wholesale dropping of the pound over the last couple of years, There's a big move at the moment towards Eastern European wines, you know, Bulgaria, Hungary, because they've got their own currencies, and their currencies have sunk just as badly as the pound. So they're becoming quite good, relatively better value than other wines. So have you seen any of that sort of movement?
To a certain extent, but then you see, I was in the travel business for 34 years, and one of my jobs was buying currency. And I used to make quite a substantial amount of money every year on currency. So watching currency is particularly important. And, okay, the rand went up to 24, probably about 2 years ago, and it's now coming in at about
24 pence or
24 rand to the pound.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then it improved, and now it's the last rand I bought is about 1684, I think it was. So that's actually a good price for me to buy it at, because I'm interested in selling wine. I'm not interested in making profit in the importing business as such. I want to sell the wine for the farm. So I'm able to be more flexible because I'm not a traditional wholesaler who has to make enough money to cover his costs. And it is interesting now with currently what's happening in South Africa with Ramaphosa coming in.
Yeah.
It was interesting that...
Well, possibly.
Oh, yeah, he'll come in definitely in the next election for the president. So with him coming in, and you saw that there was an improvement from about 1784 to one full rand to the pound when he went to Davos. And then there was rumours about Zuma going. So it is going to be an interesting kind of conundrum for the South African wine industry in terms of looking at the exchange rate. Also, with the reduction in the number of grape growers in South Africa, the cost of wine is going to go up. So very, very interesting. But I'm in such a nice position where, as I say, I don't have to make money as a wholesaler.
Cool. All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there.
Good.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, good to see you. Thank you.